Welcome to this interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. René Moore, who is the Managing Director of Air and Ocean Worldwide in Copenhagen, Denmark. First and foremost, René, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you very much.
As I always do with all of my interviewees, I always give them a chance to elaborate a little bit about their, let's say, past and leading up to their current position. So, without further ado, René, how come you got into shipping? Tell us about your career leading up to your current position, please.
I started in the business in 1982, so around 40 years of experience in the business. I've been many years with Geodis Wilson, and then a small company called Transit, and the Airland and Hexa in Copenhagen, and decided last year during the COVID pandemic to start for myself.
Okay.
So currently we're doing air and ocean, import, export like everybody, and a lot of cross-border. Mm-hmm. Our main business the first year has been from China to Korea. It's a windmill producer. So a heavy project.
Okay, interesting. I mean, your career it sounds very interesting. I mean, you've been with Geodis, you've been with Airland and Transit and Hexa. So that means you have quite a solid freight forwarding background in Denmark, I would say, right?
Yeah, both for import and exports and project cargo, air and oceans. So it's, more or less the full palette.
Okay, but what was the ultimate, let's say, decision or let's say the ultimate thing that led you to say, hey, I want to have my own, which I certainly applaud. What made you, decide?
I actually had a job on hand in the beginning of 2020 and had the contract. And due to the pandemic, it was postponed for first to April, then May, then August. Then I said, okay, I can't keep my business going.
Of course.
Without having a job. And instead of just giving the business away, I said, why not? I'm flying solo now.
Okay, so, I think that's very admirable. I mean, is it difficult to set up your own company in Denmark? You know, tradition always tells us that setting up a new company you do in Hong Kong or Malta or somewhere easy, but is it easy in Denmark or do you need a lot of money up front or authorities and whatnot?
Actually, not a lot. It's quite easy. The hardest part is actually to get an account in a bank due to the... you know the bank business, right?
Oh, yeah.
Money laundering, etc. You need to sign all kinds of things and produce proof, blah, blah, blah. And actually, it's due to a bank.
Yeah.
So that's quite annoying, but it's quite easy to start up a company. Okay. It takes a few days.
Yeah.
And then you have the issue with the banks. No matter what kind of bank you use, it takes 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. Now I've seen the same when we started up before. I mean, the banks can let 300 million pass their nose by, but if you have 100,000, you have to explain God knows what. So
exactly. Very annoying when you know it's the bank who's been cheating, right? Or some of their personnel.
Oh,
you feel criminal and you have to prove yourself.
Exactly.
And all you want to do is shut up. Let me get on with my business.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That's over.
We have to live with that, I guess. But listen, René, you mentioned that you've done project cargo before and you're now currently doing some cross trade. How come, if I may ask without digging in too deep, you're sitting in Copenhagen and suddenly you were involved in a windmill project between China and Korea? How does that come about?
That's a personal contact, but quite typical for me. I've been doing cross-border for the past 20 years. Okay. We did a lot of aviation business in Geodis, and that was often you had the airlines as client, and it could be pick up a slide at Boeing in Seattle and deliver it in Bangalore, India.
Okay.
So it just became a natural process in my work, besides import and exports. And some people are quite scared to do it. It is time consuming, but I mean, it's not that difficult.
No.
You just need to get into it and be prepared up front.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it gets too time-consuming.
Understand. Have you any? Do you feel that it was the right decision now, looking back, since you started Air and Ocean Worldwide?
It has been a tough year starting up under the COVID pandemic, but it's moving forward. It's going good, and mainly I work from home, so I have my costs very low.
Okay.
And actually have a senior employee who's doing sales. He's been in the business for, I don't know, 40, 50 years. He's a pensioner, but he wants to do something.
Okay.
So we just agree, go ahead, sell, let me fix the handling, and we just split the profit.
I think that's like you correctly indicate here, it doesn't have to be rocket science. As long as you have a couple of good friends, and then go for it, because I think people are really, you mentioned the banks earlier, but frankly speaking, we can mention some of the shipping lines too. It's become like a runaround just to find any kind of personal service these days. I mean,
exactly. And that's how I want to brand my company.
Yeah.
Good personal service. And on the air freight business, we can deal with anybody. I mean, even DSV incoming from China, no problem.
Okay.
But of course, we're not big enough to handle huge tenders.
No.
That would kill us. But our focus is on good personal service. And There's the companies who want to pay for that.
Exactly. It's a kind of niche where service that they don't get elsewhere, instead of these high profile, huge volume, but little profit, only creates a lot of turnover.
Exactly.
But René, tell me about your did you travel a lot in the past, or were you always based in Denmark as such?
I've always been based in Denmark. We did a lot of traveling with the company, of course, okay, to suppliers or big clients. You needed to please, of course.
Of course, yeah.
For keeping, naturally. But I've always been based in Denmark.
Okay.
But I think the majority of my business is now, plus 50% is actually cross-border.
Okay.
So I'm trying to build up more in import-export out of Denmark.
Yeah.
Also to get my associate selling here in Denmark. It's difficult to sell to a supplier in China who's having business in India, South America, Korea, like we did with the project. I mean, I can't send him to China. We don't have that kind of money yet.
But
we're building up, of course,
okay,
and basing it on a good personal service and a high service level.
Yeah. Do you find it, what is the biggest trouble for you as a freight forwarder? Is space, I mean, everyone laments about the space and the rates have gone through the roof. I mean, the ship owners, I guess, are fully booked. Really, they've never had it so good.
No, exactly. And I mean, it's okay for them to make money. They have had, let's say, the China-Europe or China-US business has been a loss for many, many years.
Yeah.
And it's okay they make money now, but the way they do it, I actually find it arrogant.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't want to pick up the phone and they don't want to reply on a mail. It's quite arrogant. The way we do it is we try to handle the local handling only, because as a young company, you can't have 50 containers on the ocean when it's 100,000 per box.
No.
I mean, you need a huge credit.
Yeah.
So luckily, many of our clients, they have their own deals with suppliers.
Okay.
So we're only doing the local handling like DAP.
Okay.
And on the cross-border business, we use agents' deals. And in and out of Denmark, we use a good big forwarder in Denmark. We use that deal.
Okay.
Because in the beginning, just getting a credit with a liner is extremely conservative, even though if people you've known for 10, 20 years.
Yeah. But you know what is happening is often that people who are accountants, they are no longer shipping people, and they know how to make a spreadsheet, but they never saw a ship.
And exactly.
in many ways, I mean, the aft and the bow of a ship, nobody knows, but they tell you what to
number crunchers.
Yes, your number crunchers. Yeah. So I do understand you. In some ways, our business is getting watered out. But like you say, there's a niche, and it's those niche customers to keep and go after, because there will be some people who are willing to pay for personal service still, right?
Exactly.
Do you belong in your new company? What date did you say that you started officially? What date was that?
The end of May 2020.
Okay, so all right. Now it's August 2020, September 2021. So 1 year and a couple of months. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And do you have now one colleague to do a bit of sales for you? Are you part of any networks currently, or are you just running through personal contacts now?
Mainly personal contacts, but we need to get into a network. But you know how it is. I mean, you're being bombarded
Join this, join that there.
2020, yeah, I think I know where we're going to land, but you also need a network where they don't have six agents in a small country like Denmark.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
You don't want to end up benchmarking only.
No. Then
want to feed the network and get fit.
Yeah, yeah. No, of course, you it should be reciprocal, as they say, that you give and you get. But how do you feel that the customers in Denmark are, let's say, accepting you? Some of them, of course, your customers you know from before, but is it difficult to get new customers, or are they already boxed in with current deals?
Most of them are boxed in, but when you get the DAP shipments, you have an angle or the door is semi-opened.
Yeah.
So that's our way in.
Well said. Because they have to deal with you, and then through that, you might get something else. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then just perform well and keep them posted, even though the client is in the other end. Just keep the import or the consignee posted so they get a good feel.
Yeah, yeah.
That's our way in.
Yeah. And when just to elaborate a little bit on Project Cargo, could you mention to our viewers here some of the projects you've handled, not necessarily only where you are now, because the company is relatively new, but also in the past, what kind of projects have you been involved in so that we can know you have that experience?
Yes, most of it has been aviation and in windmill.
Oh, yeah.
I have a friend who is doing ship spares only, based in Athens and Singapore with his own company.
Okay.
And we have done a lot of projects for them, like big shipments that needs to go from dock or to another dry dock.
Oh yeah.
So that's quite good, actually.
Yeah, and of course, ship spares is urgent, and you really need to know what you're doing there.
Exactly, and usually you get it from some kind of overhaul or repair, so you need to pick it up on dry dock and deliver it to a vessel in dry dock somewhere in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah, and he has a lot of clients in Greece.
Okay.
Ship owners in Greece. He's been there for about 20, 25 years.
Okay.
And now his son is working for him in Singapore. Okay. Singapore based and married, actually.
Wow.
With a lady from Singapore. So he's going for the Asian market and he's covering the European market.
Oh, so really? So
that's quite exciting. And he's quite new as well. He's been in the business for plus. The same as me. He was my first pupil, actually, in 1983.
It's funny. I think we've chewed some of the same dirt, because I became a trainee in 1980 in Aarhus.
Ah, okay. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And where did you start your traineeship or internship?
In the Copenhagen airport, in a company called Flyspedition, Swedish owned.
Okay.
Which later became part of Scanflight Wilson, which then went to be TNT Freight Management, and then Geodis.
Okay, yeah. So a lot of, let's say, names from many kilos ago, I should say, in my personal experience.
Yeah, well, actually, Wilson is an old Swedish company, very old.
Yeah. I was a trainee in Aarhus, and then I worked for about half a year for a company called Paul Nørholt in Aarhus, and he had a sister company called Wilson with the same logo, you know, the W, the red W and green, I think it was.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know whether it was a separate. He called it Wilson. Maybe it was just to piggyback on the other Wilson name. I don't know.
Was it connected to Sweden as well?
No. I think he just had his own for some reason. But I remember Bilspedition in those days.
That was part of the same group.
Yeah.
Then became Skenspil.
Okay, yeah.
And now it's Schenker.
Schenker, yeah. I think whenever you and I meet up, we shall have a lot to talk about. That's what we love about this business. But one might say that after the ever given grounding in the Suez Canal and the current problems with supply chains, finally everybody knows what shipping and logistics is all about. Because
finally, that's right.
Before, when I asked people, great, you've done well. What are you doing? I'm in shipping. What do you mean? Do you sell ships or what are you shipping?
They
don't know what it is.
No, that's quite scary, actually. But I mean, any kind of cargo needs to be shipped or delivered, of course, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically, according to you and I, we are indispensable to the world, basically.
Exactly.
That's good.
No doubt.
I think you are my new best friend. That's good to hear. Okay, René. So I think this has been very open-hearted and straightforward interview. I like that style and not so complicated and formal. It's really been a pleasure. I'm sure that many of our viewers around the world will be in touch with you after this. I want to say formally, René, many, many thanks for your time to talk to me today.
Likewise, Paul. Thank you.
And to all our listeners, viewers, readers around the world, this was yet another exclusive interview with Mr. René Moore, the managing director and owner of Air and Ocean Worldwide in Copenhagen, Denmark. A very direct type of guy who with, let's say, no holds barred, just get the job done. So do get in touch with him. And from me, for further interviews in the near future, do stay tuned to Project Cargo Weekly. Thank you.